Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is an AFL off-season podcast, which means it's only got a little bit of AFL in it. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. So, Josh, just you and me today, what's your highlight of the week past?
Well, let's wind back the clock in your life experience. Do you remember when...
The weekend? Yep. Vaguely. Oh, no.
Way back.
A little
bit
further.
Way back. Like early uni, high school days, whatever, early 20s. There's... the hot girl, and she's kind of into you, but she's making you wait. And she's making you wait and wait and wait. And sometimes 2 years, 3 years, sometimes longer. But in this case, Ben Simmons. He made everyone wait. He nailed his first three against a real opponent in a real game.
Wow.
Yeah, rookie of the year. He could have had rookie of the year twice almost. And finally has nailed a three from the corner. Yeah, some people say, look, he was wide open. Any guy getting paid the amount of money he should drill those fucking shots. But Shaq couldn't.
No, well, he had a few, didn't he, in his career, Shaq? I think he got three or something.
I don't think he did intentionally.
No. I remember seeing some on, you know, those highlight videos you used to get. and they were darts that happened to rattle home. But, okay, yeah, he did say at the start of the year that he wanted to develop his jump shot a little bit. Because I think 99% of his shots came with paint on them.
But I don't see the criticism so much. Like, that's your game, lad.
Yeah.
Just because Steph Curry can do it from halfway.
I guess you go from being an exceptional player to a fucking franchise player if you can add a jump shot. You know, you just get that little bit more dangerous.
Well, I guess that is the thing, too. Like,
and I say this not having watched much NBA basketball in the last 15 years or so.
Yeah, I watch a bit. Just at lunchtime, I'll go down and we'll have Foxtel on and I'll just check it out.
Yeah.
Because it's either that or Sky News and fuck that.
Fuck that, exactly. I do, like a bit like yourself, you catch a little bit. Oh, yeah, it's on. Oh, yeah, I watch some. I saw Golden State getting absolutely poleaxed today.
For about the last 2 weeks, they've been getting fucked.
Yeah, I think they were 2-14 or something at one stage. I have.
They were paying $8 in a game against...
Dallas or something?
Yeah, no, the Mavericks, yeah.
That's who I saw them today. I have seen a little bit of the NBL. Recently, because it's on at a better hour than the NBA for me. I've got to say, I reckon I saw half a dozen games last year and probably two or three this year already. The product's much better than I remember it. And from what I hear, they're getting some crowds in. So, you know, it's always good for the local league to be viable.
Well, yeah, rather than focusing on getting your high-level corporates in, now they're starting to focus on families coming in, and they're encouraging, you know, parents to bring their kids. I've got a good couple of mates who spend just about every weekend at the Clipsal Powerhouse, or it's not that anymore.
Oh, the Adelaide one, whatever
Adelaide
it is.
Entertainment Centre or whatever it is. And they fucking love it because, you know, the players make themselves available too.
Yeah.
So they've got, you know, the halftime things where they throw out balls and whatnot. But after the game, the players sort of run by, have a bit of a chat, sign basketballs, and that is more important than any marketing strategy you could do. If you can just get the players to hang around for 10 minutes after the game and just give a kid a high five.
Yeah,
well, that's what you need to fucking do.
Be a bit accessible. I did go to a few games, Sydney Kings games, well, you know, 20 years ago when I was living in Sydney. And I do remember, I might have mentioned it before, they did a tie-in. They did a Harlem Globetrotters and then an NBL game. And it was the Western Sydney Razorbacks. I don't even know if they exist anymore.
I don't think so.
I've got a feeling they don't. Versus the Kings probably, or somebody else, it doesn't matter. But they had the Globetrotters first. And I went with my wife, and I don't think we had the kids then. You know, and everyone was, I'd been to the Globetrotters before. And, you know, it's a great night. You know exactly what you're going to get. And then the Globetrotters game finished, and then the NBL started. three quarters of the crowd left.
Yeah.
Like, guys, you haven't thought this through. People are paying for the Globetrotters seats. They're not paying for the NBL. You just didn't think this one through. It's like, you know, Mike Brady getting U2 to open for him.
Yeah, but it's like, especially if you come with family and all that sort of stuff, after 2 hours of Globetrotters, you're kind of like,
you know,
another 2 hours?
The kids have eaten their hot dog.
Yeah.
You know, they've had enough.
You're kind of like, yeah, no, we're going home.
I'm sure the purists might have stayed, but yeah. The curtain raiser shouldn't be the better spectacle.
Yeah. That's just the basics of it. But yeah, Simmons is actually doing pretty well this season, which is good to see.
Yeah, it is good to see. And I think his coach is Brian... I was going to say Brian Brown. What's his name? Is it Brian Brown?
I have no fucking clue.
Because I think they're trying to get him to coach the Australian national team as well. So
just to try and make sure that he plays.
Maybe. It wouldn't be a bad decision, you know. Mm-hmm. It'd be good to see if they can finally break through and win a medal after going so close at the Worlds.
Well, awesome. Their list is fucking good.
It's decent enough, isn't it? Yeah.
I mean, they've genuinely got a superstar in Simmons there now.
Yeah.
Bogut doesn't have much left in him, but he's still...
He's wily.
He's still quality. He's still the best centre North yeah. Australia has.
Yeah.
And then, you know, throwing in guys like Dellavedova, Thon Maker, all those lads.
I don't know. Thon played in the last one. I'm not sure.
He played in the exhibition. He didn't play in the tournament.
And like Paddy Mills tore it up at the Worlds.
I mean, Jesus Christ, that guy did himself an extra $20 million just on there.
Yeah, he had a brilliant one. All right, well, I guess we'll cover off. There is a little bit of AFL news that's happened since we last sat down. There's lots of trade picks getting swapped around and the machinations. How far away are we from the draft? It's got to be next week, isn't it?
Yeah, next week. Well, the one that came out most recently was the North Hawthorn one, which I thought was pretty interesting for both sides.
Yeah, it is so hard to think what are they trying to achieve here?
Well, I think it favours Hawthorn in general, but North didn't give up anything of consequence either.
Yeah.
It's like North gave up, what was it, pick like 50, pick 76.
Yeah.
And next year's seconder to get pick 30.
Yeah.
So they've got 3 second round picks in this year's draft.
Right.
And only 4 spots on the list. So those 2 picks that they traded Hawthorn, they weren't going to use.
Right, yeah, yeah. So essentially you get something for nothing.
Yeah. Next year's second rounder is less important because they've got 2 first rounders.
Yep.
Having done the swap with Melbourne.
But I think, and like we said before, next year's, like, out of the top 10 players, I think 5 or 6 of them are academy or father sons. Yeah. Long way out, obviously. And shit can change. But they reckon that next year's top 10 is the most compromised it's been. So. Yeah.
So I think if you don't have a... 2 first rounders is worth more than 5 second rounders.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Forget about the points. Yeah, yeah, it's the player.
Yeah. So I think North is going to start bidding on all the academy players at pick 8 or whatever it is.
If there's so many, you know, and a lot of teams are going to marry themselves to those discounted picks, like 1 or 2 is going to sneak through. Or you're going to find yourself with a pick 20, which is going to turn into pick 11 because everyone else has burned all their picks, you know, making up points.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad strategy to get those second rounders for next year. You've already got 2 first rounders.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is if Gold Coast suck again, which is entirely likely, they could use pick 2 on an academy player.
Yeah.
Force the issue.
Yeah.
And you've got clubs who are suddenly burning 4 or 5 picks on their academy.
Just get their one man.
Which, if he's the right person, then so be it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But, you know, the more you can tank the other team's plans, the better off you are in the end. But I thought that was a really interesting one for Hawthorn and North, just because it's one with no clear idea of strategy. I did flag that before, that North might try and trade with Hawthorn just so Hawthorn could have points for Finn McGuinness.
Yeah. And obviously that's Hawthorn's strategy is, I think we've got pick 11 and we want to not use that on Finn McGuinness if we can. Because somebody bids on him in the top 10, then we lose. We go, all right, well, we have to use pick 11. And then they've got to come down to a decision. And I think they're going to, they will use it rather than, you know, let him pass. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. I reckon, like, It sounds silly to say this because we don't really know the drafts. We only go off, you know, every second journo's mock draft. But pick 11, I think Finn's just slightly better than that. But it's whether somebody bothers to make an effort and put in a bid.
Well, in the past, it's been Adelaide mostly. And they've got a pick ahead of 11. Can't remember which one. But so I imagine they'll look at a few players.
I got a feeling they did some swaps today as well. Adelaide, were they involved?
I think so.
Yeah, they were involved in a three-way with Frio and the Ds to move around a little bit.
Yeah, that's it. Pick number 8's been doing a lot of bouncing around.
It has, hasn't it? I do love that a lot of these picks are, you know, Port going, right, we need one in front of Adelaide. And then Adelaide come back and, well, we need one in front of Port. And West Coast and Frio were doing the same. Yeah, it's made itself very interesting. But it is very hard with all the draft analysis too, because what's a mock draft do? Like, you see so many that do it and you go, well, the answer is going to be there next week and this is just pointless. I mean, don't you think?
Yeah, but you got to fill column inches.
Yeah, that's it. There's only so many come back to the track early stories you can run each week.
Well, I think Carlton settled for that because they did see Curnow fucked his patella.
Well, that's something I wanted to talk about because I just love the story with it. So Charlie Curnow broke his kneecap today and it looks like he's going to miss a fair chunk of the preseason and won't be ready for round one. This is a big blow for Carlton too because they were hoping for a big season out of him. But I just love the way it was reported on Carlton's website. So let me give this to you. Curnow slipped. He produced a high-level contraction to his quadricep muscle. This caused a large force to go through his whole knee, and his deconditioned patella did not tolerate the load. Like, broke his kneecap would do, wouldn't it?
Well, I think they're trying to say that he's so fucking ripped that his thigh tore his patella apart.
I'd love to be the media guy. What's happened? Broke his fucking knee. Done. Yeah, that's the end of the story. But maybe they get paid by word.
It could be a freelancer. That makes sense.
Yeah, just wanted to pat it out just a little bit.
Yeah, but it's kind of fucked.
What do you do?
Yeah,
it slipped onto the tiles. That's the story they're running with. I wonder if we hear something else. Are the Pussycat Dolls in town?
Well, apparently he stranded earlier playing basketball or something.
Yeah, yeah, it was a little bit a little while ago. So. Same knee, I think. They said unrelated, yeah. But whatever.
And North had Eddie Vickers-Willis get his get an arthroscopy as well. That poor fucker. Like, he's had 7 games a season at best, and he's injured a knee every fucking season.
Time to do something else.
It's this year is his make or break.
Yeah.
And hope it's not break, because fuck.
He's had enough breaks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's a decent player when he's up and about. Just can't stay in the fucking park. And we say that about so many players.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, definitely. The modern game just isn't kind to the body. Or the past game wasn't that fucking kind either.
Yeah, that's it. So is it more? You got more AFL?
Yeah. Delidio.
Yeah, playing for Box Hill.
Yeah, rumours thrown about that he might get thrown a lifeline at Hawthorn.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I can see the benefit having an old head there. And he is still clean.
Yeah.
But you've got Burgoyne, who's cleaner and older.
I mean, he's injury prone. He is an old head. If we wanted an old head, we would have kept Birchall, or we would have kept Ruffy. Old heads is not what we're after. We've got too many. We've got too many 30-pluses as it is. No, he's going to be an assistant coach down at Box Hill, which obviously is the feeder club to Hawthorn. So yeah. Essentially, he's an assistant under Clarkson, you know, or he's starting his coaching career a year earlier under Clarkson.
Yeah, but I think having him in Box Hill, like, that's a massive pickup for Box Hill.
Of course it is, yeah, yeah.
As a playing sort of coach kind of thing.
Literally yeah. A playing coach.
That has a lot to do with future success. Being able to attract and keep quality players in your VFL and your reserve side.
Yeah.
You look at Richmond did it, Lad Marich playing there for 2-3 years, I think.
Well, he was still on the AFL list. He was basically their ruck coach, but playing VFL.
Yeah. And they've also had, you know, plenty of depth with Short and
Lots of others. Yeah, Townsend was there and Miles before he got traded.
All those guys. So putting pressure on the A squad obviously matters, but also having the rookies who are coming through the VFL or the other reserve leagues, having someone around with that experience, that knowledge and that game level just matters so much in their development.
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate that some clubs just aren't doing well at the VFL or the AFL.
No, they won a flag in the VFL, not this year, but last year, the Box Hill. But the nature of the VFL with the affiliated teams is there is a little bit of turnover as it happens. And, you know, they lost a couple, like David Mirra. He's a funny one because he played, I don't know, half a dozen games last year, probably not that many, for Hawthorn. So he gets delisted by Hawks, and rather than go back to Box Hill, where we actually drafted him from, he's got off to play in the Suburban Footy League. Probably makes more money out there.
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
Other one that's just popped up is Dangerfield signed an extension till 2024.
Yeah, that'll about do him, I reckon, too.
I reckon so.
Or if not, you know, he'll be on, you know, a Hodge-like deal after that.
What, going back to Adelaide?
Could do. I reckon, you know, you never know where the premiership window is going to be in 2024.
Well, now that they've stitched Grundy up for 7 years, that he'd be the only person who might go to Adelaide.
Hasn't technically signed yet, though, Grundy.
He's just making him sweat.
I think so, too. I think he will.
I mean, he was after 7 years. He's got 7 years. You assume it's going to be for big money, too.
Well, it was a little bit of a standoff, and Collingwood blinked first. And I actually like Collingwood for doing it because, you know, fuck it, he deserves the 7 years. If it squeezes out some of your older players or they've got to take big pay cuts, like we spoke about last week, so be it. But he's probably your best player. So,
well, I mean, if you've got to hang on to...
If you want 7 years, give it.
If you have to hang on to one of Grundy or Degoe, you give up Degoe.
Yeah, probably. You wouldn't be happy about it.
No, they're both quality players, but you can replace Degoe with someone 90% as good.
Or go to Richmond. If you had a choice between Dusty Martin or Trent Cotchin, you go, fuck, we love you, Cotch, but...
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah.
But quality ruckmen like him are a once-a-generation player.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's the best at the moment and probably will be the best for the next 5 or so years.
Yeah, he's coming into his best footy.
Yeah, you know? It's just phenomenal how good he is. Son of a bitch. But yeah, if that puts more pressure on Collingwood's salary cap, all the better.
everyone's a winner. Yep. I did see Hanbury had another off-season injury, as is tradition. But anyway.
Did that even make the papers?
Oh, I think it was in the, you know, certainly wasn't the lead story, but poor lad.
Yeah, I did see another young Sudanese player coming through.
Yep.
Biggie Smalls. Well, Biggie Nguyen.
Okay, if you say so, I have not seen this story at all.
Nguyen, N-Y-U-O-N. So, of course, his nickname is Biggie Smalls.
Right, of course it is.
But his actual name is Biggie.
Well, I can say, if your name is Biggie, that's going to happen.
Well, being a Sudanese bloke sort of adds character to the reference, I suppose.
Was there any Sudanese males less than 6'5"?
I haven't seen any.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's really good now to see. He's talking about the game where Elia Elia was playing on Magic Door and how that was just the turning point for him saying, all right, I can make a life out of this.
It's a great game, that one too. I remember it. Yeah.
It was, yeah. I mean, Elia sealed it for the Swans.
Magic won the day.
Yeah.
Elia kicked the winning goal.
But I mean, it's one of those moments in footy that you have where you're like, oh, fuck, I was there for that.
Yeah, like, yep. Like I said, North Melbourne, Sydney. I'm a Hawthorn supporter and I remember being at that game.
Yeah. But I mean, how many moments can you remember? Non-premiership moments, I mean.
Like,
regular games, we're like, fuck, that was a moment.
Yeah.
Like probably Pluggers, 1600th, whatever it was.
1300th,
Be one for you. Myself would be McCartney's game, which I wasn't even at, but I remember watching on the telly and just having that moment.
You know, another one for me was, Jack Rewalt kicked 10. I've only ever been to one game where a player kicked 10. And he did it against West Coast at the MCG. Years and years ago, wasn't it? But anyway, there you go. Sorry.
I can't remember if I've ever been to a game with a play kick 10.
Oh, I said only one for me.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the last one I saw was Ben Brown. That was on telly. But and prior to that, I can't remember the last time someone did kick 10.
Yeah, Buddy, it would have been.
Probably. I remember Sav Rocker kicking. Yeah, I might have been at a game when Sav Rocker kicked 10.
There you go.
I might have kicked 12, actually.
So we're talking about 2004 or something. Yeah.
Somewhere around there. But yeah, you have those moments where you're like, I fucking remember it. And, it's great to see that even though Majak's had his issues, which obviously, that he's still held in high esteem by that crowd.
Well, you've got to say, like, North Melbourne too, I mean, they've stuck fucking by him. And when, by all rights, they could have cut him 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Until, 2018, where he really, really came good.
Well, he always had that. I mean, the pictures of him now after a fucking smashed body like he had.
Yeah.
He's still a massive fucking unit.
Oh, of course he is.
Yeah. Like, if he decided to, you know, get off water and get on bodybuilding, He would literally be a Phil Heath-style physique. He'd be fucking massive.
I mean, he is the kind of athletic body that, you know, pick your sport, mate. You'll be first class at it. Just pick one.
Yeah, and if he goes, you know what, I'll be a marathon runner. They're like, well, no, but give it a crack. He'd probably do all right.
No, definitely a sprinter. He won the sprint 1 year too. Yeah.
He's a bit of toe. But, no, it's sad to hear what's happened, but it's great the club stuck around him, and also the community has as well. Like, as the North Melbourne community as well as the Sudanese community are both still holding him, I don't want to say responsible, because it's not quite responsible. They're not holding it against him,
the
mental demons he had. They're realising that that shit can happen to fucking anyone.
Yeah, yep.
Which is fucking true, so good on him. And then you've got, I still haven't heard about Aaron Hall or Ben Jacobs, so I don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Oh, geez, yeah. I really think that Ben Jacobs, it's been 2 years where, you know, sort of a year and a half they couldn't decide what it was, and then they think it's sinus, and then, or maybe not, and then maybe, like, dude, you know, just go live in a lab and figure it out, because it's not helping you at all. You got to think about the next 40 years, not the rest of your footy career.
Yeah, well, he's got this year, and, you know, they'll have to... If he doesn't play this year, then he has to be done. I mean, he hasn't taken the field in 2.5 years then.
Yeah.
And Aaron Hall's got some sort of mental things he has to address.
Yeah, fair enough. We had some talent issues, I thought, too, but maybe they are related.
Yeah, but the other thing with Biggie Smalls, apparently his older brother was a top-quality player and just... had a bit of trouble as well.
Oh, right, yeah.
So he's really sort of...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Choosing his role models.
Okay.
Now, and apparently Alira and Magic are it.
Fair enough.
You know, it's great that they can be that sort of hero to that community.
Yeah, yeah.
And people in general. I mean, fuck, I enjoyed that game.
Yeah, of course. All right. Well, I think there's not really much else going on in the world of AFL. Just, you know, usual bullshit and some players coming out, you know, Guernsey's getting announced and new numbers getting announced. And actually, I have seen quite a few posts from different sides with, you know, here's our 2020 Guernsey. I'm like, yep, same as last year's. Yeah. All right.
It's like,
thanks, guys.
You have to sort of look twice. It's like three blue stripes on a white background or three white stripes. But yeah, it's weird. The only other thing that pops up is, you know, players who might be thinking movie next year or whatever.
Yeah,
let's just wait.
Just, you know, journos, you really got to use up that annual leave. You can't just bank it, you know. Take some time. Cricket started today.
Yeah, I was keeping tabs on it, obviously being at work.
Yeah, I watched the last wicket because I was home by then.
Yeah, well, there were none for 200 and, none for 60 and something.
None for 70, none for 73, I think, and then four for 79.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was watching that, and they were just like, you know, block, one, leg by, boring as balls. And then it's suddenly bang, 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 bang. Like, fuck, yeah.
All right. All out for 240, but it is good to have the test cricket back. And I reckon I might try and go to the Boxing Day test this year. Not Boxing Day, but, you know, two, three or four.
Well, the good thing is with the Pakistani matches, they're very well organised.
Beforehand, some would say. No, it's Kiwis that are coming out for the Boxing Day this year.
It doesn't mean the Pakistanis haven't organised something.
All right. Well, since there's not much to talk about AFL, I thought we'd go into do a little bit of talk about gambling. And the reason it comes up is we do our gambling episodes in the past, and Donk Dunk is always our guest, and we had his farewell last week. He's heading back over to to England to live. So I thought, it just made me think of more gambling, and I thought we'd have to do a Skype episode with him at one stage to give him more stories from Crown Casino. But yeah, I thought we'd talk a little bit about gambling, even though Brenton's not here because he, you know, 10 years in a casino. First off, the football side of gambling, because I know that there's a little bit of contention about how many advertisements you see, you know, and everything is, you know, bet this, bet that. I don't know if I'm a little bit annoyed with the number of ads, but at the same time, I'm blind to ads anyway. I think cause I sort of work in the marketing and advertising industry, and I just go, it's an ad, and I just, like, my brain just switches off.
I think it's the lack of variety. Like, you have Tom Waterhouse doing his tip thing, and then you got BetEasy, Betfair,
yeah.
Neds, Sportsbet.
100 others, yeah.
Yeah, 360, Bet360, 365, whatever it is. And it's just ad for sport, ad for betting, yeah. betting. McDonald's, betting, NAB.
Yeah, they've certainly, you know, what was it, 15, 20 years ago when they took up the, made the advertising of betting agencies legal. They took it on.
I just wonder if, like, if we started our own betting agency, and I imagine a lot of the overhead comes from odds setters and odds makers that just copy paste from Sportsbet. Be like, oh, they've changed their odds. All right, change ours.
Yeah.
And you'd probably make money. Unless a whole bunch of them are doing that.
Yeah, I got to say, I reckon there is a little bit of that. And I reckon some of the big boys, sometimes they throw in a little furphy just to see if they, you know, let's just bump this one out to tens and we'll take a piece of that. Thank you.
Actually, I reckon that does happen because I've been
on... Of course it does.
I've been on F1 a few times and I'm like, Lewis Hamilton paying sevens? I'm checking it. No, he's not fucking injured.
No.
The car's... All right, I guess I'll put a sneaky 20 on and fucking romps it in. He's like, oh.
He's not on unleaded, is he?
Actually, that was funny too, from an F1 point of view. Ferrari have had the best car for most of the season.
Yep.
And they're getting fucking smashed in the championship because they keep crashing into each other. Or Seb Vettel just crashed into walls, spins. And there's no love lost for Seb Vettel, mostly in Australia, having been Mark Webber and Daniel Ricciardo's partner.
Foil, yep.
And tried to fuck them both over at every opportunity. And some people say that's just the competitive nature of Formula One. But those same people often have a bit of a smirk when they realise that Vettel's fucking spinning left, right and centre and has fucked himself over. And is getting shown up by his very young co-driver, who is supposed to be the number two, but has driven like a number one for the last few weeks.
Fair enough. So on the gambling side of things, I thought that we'd, to pass away the summer months, we'd actually talk about some of our gambling exploits. So apologies to anyone that doesn't like gambling. Bad luck. It's funny. I love my interest in gambling really started, you know, playing cards and all that kind of stuff. But I love the prop bet stories and those kind of stuff. And the one thing I don't like about gambling is horse racing. I just find it so boring. I don't get it.
I get it when you're testing your ability to read the form and predict the outcome based on a set of metrics.
Right.
If you're just like, I like pink, and you bet on pink, then I'd get fucking
bored. I mean, it's the same as roulette then, isn't it, really?
Well, it's pokies,
yeah.
Essentially. Yeah. You're just like, here's my lucky machine. No, it's fucking not. Having said that, I think betting on trots is always good if you know the jockeys, because that's a fucking boat race.
Yeah, we covered that one last week. What we used to do before we had kids, on Friday nights, we'd get a couple of drinks, the wife and I, and we'd watch the dog races on TV and put $1 bets on each race. Like, so you burn through, $14 by the end of the night, and you might have won $6, I mean, not six races. It was all right, you know, that kind of stuff. What was the bloody place? The Broadmeadows.
Oh, yeah.
There's one out here. And there was a dodgy place in Sydney where they always had the races.
Oh, Dapto?
Nah, that's a country, I think, but it might be Wentworth, Phil. Something like that. Anyway. Having said, you know, with I don't like racing, one of my best gambling stories ever was horse racing. But this is way back in 1999, I reckon. So my first year at uni, and I was spending a lot of my time at the uncle's house up in Gosford, who had just recently got divorced, so was living the high life. But there was this one day we're around there. We thought, all right, we'll go down the beach or something, but we'll do some yard work first. And I was out there, and then we're all right, we're about ready to go, and I feel this squelching in my thongs. And I look down, and there's just pools of blood in the old masseurs. I thought, what the fuck's this? And I've reached down to find out what's going on, try to find a cut in my toes. A giant fucking leech.
Oh.
Underneath your toes. I just felt it, went, what the fuck? And just thrown it. So yeah, so that was nice. So I got that all patched up. Now, yeah, when we sat down for breakfast, eating under the veranda, lovely bacon and eggs and toast and that, and I've bumped the table and orange juice has gone everywhere, all over it all. But that was lovely. It was a good day. So ruined breakfast with the orange juice. Got bitten by a leech. And we've gone down, and he loves his races. So he's putting, you know, bets on every weekend. And since I was going around with him, we thought, oh, we'll go in, you know, to the TAB. And he's put on whatever bet he is. And I've looked down and gone, yeah, I'll grab a mystery trifecta. And, oh, pink looks nice, you know, number seven.
Yeah.
So I think I had $1 mystery trifecta and then $3 on some horse. And anyway, race is gone. I've gone, oh, shit, that horse has won. That horse is paying $30. I had $3 on it. There's $90. I'm like, this is pretty good. And then I've looked at the mystery trifecta and I go, I've got this. It's a $1 mystery trifecta. So it's got to be in order. And it was 735 or something like that. I'm like, I've got that. And of course, there's a protest. There's never a good story without a protest. And I've looked at it. I'm like, that's a 30-1 winner in a trifecta. That's going to be all right. So my $1 returned $912.
Fair enough.
As a 19-year-old, fucking bonza. So this is on a Sunday. Went back to uni on the Monday, and I'm shouting everyone beers and two-for-one counter meals down at the local pub. It was a great week.
I mean, the only one I had at uni really was Melbourne Cup when Rogan Josh ran. And
I think that was 1999 as well.
Yeah, the Pop used to always back Bart Cummings in the Cup.
Yep.
I think it was a Bart Cummings horse, or I could be making shit up. I don't know.
Can't remember.
But obviously, being Josh, I'm like, yeah, fuck it. I put every dollar I had, which was about 50, on it, and then was paying $6.40. So yep. I had a few hundred back, and I was loving life.
I remember that too, because the horse that ran second was Central Park, and that was the one I was on. And it was a big payer, that one. I don't think I had any more than $2 on it, but made some other people very happy with their trifectas.
I had a run there where for about 12 years in a row, I won money.
On the Melbourne Cup. Yeah. So what's your, you got any gambling stories? Because you love a mystery, not a mystery trifecta, sorry. You love a multi.
Well, I'm like maximizing my potential winnings.
Yep.
Which is a very big difference from maximizing actual winnings.
Yep.
So the old 15 to 20 leg multi for a dollar.
Yep. 15 to 20.
The thing is, the way to build it up is, for that long, for such a big multi, you're going favorites a lot of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I often have boxing in there because boxing favourites always fucking win because
it's fixed.
It's fucking organised. And oftentimes esports too because they're generally very few upsets.
More predictable.
The ones that fuck me over always is the EPL. So like it'll be Crystal Palace versus Arsenal. And I'm like, Arsenal's got this surely.
Yeah.
And then it's like they're 2-1 up. With 4 minutes to go, and then Crystal Palace get an equaliser. You're like, cocks. Ends in a draw. And you're like, fuck.
See, and this is where you become the nuffy, because you're betting on sports that you don't understand.
Like, I understand enough about EPL to know that if it's one of the top, the big four, with you know, Chelsea, Arsenal,
both of them,
Man U, Man C,
Liverpool.
And yeah, Liverpool, top big five then, whatever. I don't think Man City used to be the...
No, big, but then oil money.
If you're one of those and you're playing a team that's around the relegation area, generally you're betting on the name team.
But you've got to know, like, do they have a Champions League game coming up? Are they playing their second stringers on a Wednesday night?
Yeah, that's the bit I'm not aware of.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But everyone's got their bad beat story.
Yeah.
I had a 20-leg multi that would have paid 900 to 1 and had a fiver on it. And Tui Tuivasa fucked me over.
Oh, you bet on Chewy.
I did. I was looking at it and thinking, oh, I don't know about this one. With 20 legs, you've got to fill it, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, nah, look, it's better than even chance.
Right.
So I'm going with him. And that was the only leg I lost in a 20-leg.
Was that his first loss as well? Because he was 10-0 at one stage. Or was
cocksucker.
I think he's lost a couple, though.
But I've had three in the last probably well, since then,
yep,
of between 15 and 20 legs where I've had one leg fall.
Yeah, right. And all $1.10, $1.15, $1.20.
A lot of them are, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's hey, why not?
I think the biggest one was about $1.50 when I was on the 76ers against Dallas, mate.
Didn't even know.
I can't fucking remember now.
But it's the fucking truth, though. You put a dollar on a game, you watch that game with more intent than you would have otherwise.
Yeah. The problem is, though, with multis especially, because there's a delay between games and everything, yeah, it ends up building up.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, fuck, hang on, I put a dollar on. It's got 70 in there now. Should I pull it out?
Pull it, yeah.
But then it's like, you're like, well, hang on, I've had six winners. Fuck it, this could go up.
Yep.
And I have done it before. I've pulled out early and then, you know, the rest get up, obviously. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're like, fuck, I've got $60. Could have got 700. So in the end, it's their money.
Yeah, yeah.
I've given them a dollar.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I figure, look.
You've got a dollar's worth of entertainment out of it regardless.
I've got a dollar's worth of sweat out of the fucking thing too sometimes. You're sitting there going, oh, fuck, fuck. And then you suddenly start researching shit. You're like,
yeah,
all right, Jimenez San Japan is partnered with Dave Johnson in the Equatorial Guinea Doubles ATP tournament.
Yeah.
Are they going to really beat the Johnson brothers? Oh, I'm not fucking sure. I don't know who the fuck any of them are.
Well, I was going to say, but last month in the South Chile Open, you know, he had a really good fourth round.
You do end up fighting that random shit.
I read this expert on itsmysport.co.nj.
Yeah, you end up getting fucking random. But it's interesting.
Yeah, isn't it?
And in the end, I figure I get more enjoyment out of a dollar there,
yeah,
than I do out of just buying a fucking Coke.
Yeah, yeah. I remember once Brenton and I actually were watching, it would have been in 2008, Collingwood versus the Bulldogs at Marvel Stadium, or Colonial as it was then, or Telstra Dome as it was then, I can't recall. Mm-hmm. And we had $5 on the third quarter being the highest scoring quarter. Don't know why we picked that bet, but we really enjoyed cheering for both defenses in the first half and then switching through. And I think it got up, like, you know, so it probably paid $2, whatever. But I've never enjoyed a neutral game more than that one. Just cheering for defense for three quarters and the forwards for the other one. It's good fun.
Oh, I mean, look, as long as it's kept under control.
I do
know problems, people who blah, throw blah, blah. Far too much fucking money at it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's entertainment. It's not a living.
Oh, you know, those that do make a living out of it, sometimes I wonder if they fudge it a little bit.
And sometimes I wonder how if they're just permanently cunts.
Yep. So what else? What's your big collects? Have you ever had any big ones?
I'm trying to think of my biggest would be one of the, you know, 5-6 leg multis that I've got.
Yeah.
I think my biggest would be about 600-700.
That's about it.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing spectacular.
It's funny when you think gambling as well, like Lotto gets into it. You know, the odds of winning Lotto were 140 million to 1 or whatever.
It's much more now.
Yeah, there you go. Whatever it is.
Powerball is about 170 billion because they've got more numbers now.
Yeah. But isn't it funny, though, that the enjoyment you get out of mentally spending that money is almost worth the $10?
Oh, it's the dream. Like, especially when it gets to stupid money.
Yeah.
Like, at the moment, Powerball's, I think, 40, 50 million.
Yeah.
Which is stupid money. But when it gets up to 200, like it got up to 180 a couple months back, and you're like, that's more money than I... Like, if I won that, I would have no fucking clue how to live that life.
No.
I could not physically spend it in any way, shape, or form.
No, because I remember one of them was up to 100 million, and I was mentally spending it, and I didn't even... I don't think I even bought a ticket, but I was still mentally spending it, and I still thought, I'm going to have to give away 70 because I won't know what to do with it otherwise.
Yeah. But the funny thing is there, like Bill Gates just passed...
110.
Yeah, he passed Jeff Bezos, the Amazon guy, for richest man in the world. So if you won 100 million, that changes the life of you, your family, everyone you met. You can give random strangers $1 million just for the fuck of it.
Yeah.
He's got 1,000 times more than that.
Yeah, yeah.
1,000.
Yeah, exactly. He can do that every day of the week for 3.5 years.
Yeah, he could give away $1 million at every meal he eats
yep.
and not notice the difference.
It's there might be a bit of an issue there, you reckon?
Well, anyway. I mean...
Yeah, that's politics.
I'm not saying eat the rich, but I'm saying give them a taste.
You don't knock it until you've tried it.
Yeah, I mean, fuck it.
Why not?
He won't miss an arm or a leg.
If not, he can... I'm sure he's got an Iron Man suit somewhere. He can make up for it.
Actually, there was a big thing the other day about... there was a veteran in the US who got his leg shot off, and he went back and re-enlisted in another tour. And he was the first guy to actually do it with a prosthetic.
Okay.
And I was just thinking the other week, we've got runners in the Paralympics.
Yep.
They've had to downgrade their prosthetics because they're too fast.
Right.
And they're like, well, they can't be fast in the able-bodied athletes. And I think, why the fuck not?
Because they end up shooting their girlfriend in the toilet?
Well, maybe. it's just because he couldn't kick the door down.
Yeah.
It sprung. But,
thank you, Jim.
Yep. Actually, see, the Jim Jefferies show's ended.
I did it.
Yeah. He wants to do a sitcom now.
Oh, okay. No, I did not know that.
Tried that twice already. Didn't work, but whatever.
I liked one of them.
Yeah, I thought it was legit. Was all right.
Yeah, that's the one.
But yeah, the with the prosthetic thing, it'll be in our lifetime where prosthetics are better than, your original equipment.
I hope so.
So, this thing, like, if you're a soldier and, you're over in fucking Afghanistan, or wherever the fucking war is then, probably still Afghanistan, who the fuck knows, in the next 20 years, and they go, look, you can join the infantry, or you can join the mobile infantry, like from Starship Troopers.
You get a mech suit.
Yeah, you get, we remove your knees from here down, put the legs in storage, and then when you de-enlist, we reattach the legs or something.
Surely at that stage, though, you just have robots. Like, just why have just drone planes? Why not have drone fucking humans?
I have seen the arguments for that. They say there needs to be human in the process, because otherwise you end up with Terminator 2.
Nah, fuck them. Those movies are all right. A lot of people enjoyed them. Bought a lot of tickets.
Do you reckon if the robots did win, that they'd keep Arnold Schwarzenegger around? Just because
he was on our... Because they're sentimental.
They're like, look, he was as close as we've got to one of us. So, look, he was the first... They've all got German accents now. Austrian accents.
Same thing.
I thought it was funny, because you might have, people who these days lose a finger, occasionally replace them with shit like a prosthetic... But that has a
USB drive.
Yeah, USB drive in it. Yeah. Or it might have some sort of addition.
If we lopped off your thumb right now, what would you get replaced? Would you put in the
a thumb, you're gonna have to get something the same. Well, I think a thumb's too vital. If it's a different
pinky
finger,
then fuck it.
Well, I don't use my pinky finger anyway, so I'd probably replace it with a laser pointer.
A laser pointer, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something.
Or maybe one of those multi keys. Like those key wallets.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Not a Swiss Army knife or...
I mean, you could do that too, I guess.
Or a tape measure. That'd be good.
Tape measure, yeah. Or maybe just a miniaturized phone, so you can do the hand-to-ear thing.
I was going to say, yeah, you put a receiver in your pinky and the headphone in the thumb, and away you go.
I'm still amazed no one's done that with a shoe.
I'm sure they have. This just turns out walking on your iPhone, it doesn't help.
Yeah, but the joke...
Yeah, it's an expensive joke. Yeah. All right, we're waffling on now. That's over 40. Let's leave it there. We'll think about what we can talk about next week.
Oh, the draft.
The draft. Yeah. Oh, the draft, of course. We're going to talk about how everyone's got the exact player they wanted, and it's turned out perfectly for them on the night.
Yeah, I've got some really strong opinions that I just need to study up on.
I haven't decided for myself yet. All right, bye.
Good luck.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.